Welcome to Leaked, a program about food issues and questions around the community. Join Barry as he chews up the facts and spills the beans on what's happening in the secret life of food.
So, hi everyone, welcome back to my program called Leaked. I am Barry, and this week we'll be talking about energy drinks. So energy drinks have been on headlines for the better or worse, sometimes for good reasons and bad reasons. So for positive news, from 2008 until 2012, the energy drink market have increased by 60%. But for negative news, for example, Turkey have recently banned people under the age of 18 to buy energy drinks. And then like yesterday when I was looking online, apparently there was a newspaper article from Perth saying that high energy drinks are putting high school students into hospitals. So what made me want to talk about this topic this week? Well, I was like searching online, and then last week there was an article on News Hub saying energy drink addiction fears as staff drinking 3 liters a day. So a Kiwi farmer went up to social media and then asked for help to ask for like advice how to reduce energy drinks from the employees. So apparently these employees have been drinking like water. And then like there was a statement that he put up on Facebook, but I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. I'll just read a small section of it. It says that our next focus is going to be on reducing energy drink consumption in the workplace. The bloody cans are everywhere. It sounds a bit invasive, but we cannot help but think it's an artificial stimulant that may not really be doing a lot of good in the long run. Well, I don't know what you guys think, because, like, do you think it's really invasive, like, how he's doing it? Is he actually controlling what his employees, or is it for the benefit of the company? So there was actually some positive feedback and some negative feedback. Some people have said that it's none of his business. As long as the job is done, everything is fine. But there were some people saying that, well, for the well-being of co-workers, of course you want to, like, teach them what is healthy, what is good for you. And then, yeah, it's just like, I think it's kind of, like, really good that he's actually taking a stand saying drinking 3 liters is probably not good for you. I personally don't think I could drink 3 liters of water a day. And I just have no idea how you could drink 3 liters of V or Red Bull. So this is what the Ministry of Health actually have a recommendation saying that people should not consume over 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine and no more than 12 teaspoons of sugar. So for a can of 250 mils of energy drinks, it contains around 80 to 120 milligrams of caffeine, and it has around 6 teaspoons of sugar, which is quite a lot. If you drink at least 3 liters a day, that's quite a lot of caffeine and also sugar. So just before like I go on to other stuff, sometimes I feel like caffeine does give me like a weird buzz. So I'll come back after this song.
I'm not sure. lava, fueling your addiction with this thick black lava. We can do up an espresso or the cappuccino way. Sure to get your fix, fancy or grande. Sugar, splendor, equal, maybe sweet and low. Everybody's happy when they're in the control. Let's go.
So what are energy drinks? Well, energy drinks aren't really a new concept. I mean, but you would never guess what is the first energy drink that was first developed. It is the Coke. So it's a mixture between caffeine and cocaine that was launched in 1886. But of course, cocaine is illegal now. And cocaine was removed from Coke in 1903. So basically, an energy drink is a beverage that contains caffeine, and most of the time it contains sugar, and also it's carbonated. It's marketed as providing mental and also physical stimulation. And basically, it's an energy fix. But, I mean, people have, like, different energy fixes. For example, some people would have tea, some people would have coffee, and then some people in the afternoon would have some, like, a slice of cake. I mean, it really depends on what it is. But fast forward 100 years, it seems like people are really, like, fueled and having a lot of using these beverages as a way of, like, as a stimulant. So energy drinks are generally targeted to male teenagers around their 20s. And also it's kind of like a really high impulse and also, like, energized product. And the most famous energy drink that we all know is Red Bull. But surprisingly, in New Zealand, it seems like V is actually have the largest market share. As it turns out, V actually have around 60%. And then, like, every other energy drinks actually, like, do not actually dominate in the New Zealand market, which is really surprising. So when we talk about energy drinks, one of the most fascinating things, I got to say, it's definitely the sponsorship and also their marketing. Unlike Coke or, like, Starbucks or, like, all these other drink beverage products, it's actually, like, markets itself in a different way. There's a lot of product placement, and they market themselves within the sports industry, which is, like, really fascinating. So the most famous one, as we all know, would be Red Bull. Their sponsorship with Extreme Sports. And it's supporting and creating a high-octane feeling. Most of the time, it markets itself in high races, in race cars, and also in snowboarding, and also, like, cliff diving. So mostly extreme sports. So I was going through the internet and just, like, seeing, like, what other benefits. And then there are actually, like, different ways you could look at it. So here are the 8 energy drinks benefits when you consume these products. I don't really agree with all of them, but, like, it's just, like, fascinating, like, what people think. So for the first one, it provides a lot of energy. So energy drink produces a feeling of alertness, awakeness, and also productivity. I kind of agree, but, I mean, like, you could do that with a lot of food as well. I mean, having, I don't know, just, like, a banana maybe, like, have the same effect, but we'll see. I actually really like the second one, which is it standardizes caffeine amount and also it's convenient. Okay, when you have a cup of coffee, I don't think it's really standardized when it comes to caffeine. It does vary a lot. It depends on the barista and it depends on, like, the amount of water and also, like, how it's made. When you're having a can of energy drink, everything is standardized. So you kind of know, like, how much you're having. Like what we said before, it's around 80 to 120 milligrams. If you're having a cup of coffee, it may vary between, like, 10 to 100. It depends on who makes it and how many shots are made. Number 3 is that it's fast caffeine delivery. Because the drinks are served cold, it is much more easier to consume than coffee. I don't know about this one, because it really depends on, do you really enjoy a hot beverage or do you want something quick? Okay, number 4 is that there's a variety of flavors and also additional supplements. Yes, some people may not like coffee, or may not like the flavor of tea. So that's why there's like different products. For example, I can't think of in the top of my head, but I remember when I was at university, they actually had like different variety of products. And then there was like a variety of flavors, but I tend to like the original a lot more. And also the additional supplement, for example, vitamin B and also ginseng, I'm not too sure about this one. Yes, like vitamins are also included, and also like ginseng and also guarana and stuff. But at the moment, I don't know if there's any facts backing whether it's actually really beneficial to the body. So it really depends on which way you stand. It could be beneficial or it could be not so. Number five, refreshing. Because most energy drinks are served cold and carbonated, it kind of gives a really nice feeling. Yeah, I guess that's true. Number seven, it's more affordable than it's more affordable than Starbucks and also other gourmet coffees. So it's around $3 a can. I looked it up this morning. So it's around $3 a can, around 700 mils in the city, New World. And then compared to a Starbucks coffee, which is around $5.50, it is quite different when it comes to the price, I guess. And then number eight, it's faster recovery after exercise. Energy drinks offer a way for athletes to recover faster from exercise because of the caffeine and carbs that they contain. I really don't know about this one. Okay, it feels like fast recovery after exercise. I don't know if energy drinks really cut it. Because like when I was doing nutrition, it always like tells us it's best not to be stimulated. You kind of want the body to calm down. So I remember one of my lecturers actually said the best drink if you want faster recovery after exercise would be actually drinking chocolate milk. There is a lot of protein and there's a lot of chocolate milk. I don't know if you really want caffeine after running or after exercising, because you kind of want to just calm yourself down. Sometimes I feel like whenever I drink an energy drink, it gives me this nice feeling with friends and having an amazing time, such as going on trips and also going out. Okay, we'll just take a quick break and I'll be back after the song.
Inside my head, hands up if you're down to get down tonight, 'cause it's always a good time. Slept in all my clothes like I didn't care, hopped into a cab, take me anywhere. I'm in if you're down to get down tonight, 'cause it's always a good time.
Good morning and good
Okay, so on a 180 of what I've been talking about, despite the fact that energy drinks are tasty, it's convenient and also like refreshing and gives you a lot of energy. However, sometimes it's actually not good for you, as we all know. So there was a teen that actually died earlier this year from overconsumption of caffeine. So earlier this year, caffeine caused the death of a 16-year-old boy from South Carolina. He collapsed during class because of caffeine-induced cardiac event. So he had abnormal heart rhythm, and he was not able to have enough blood in the body, which kind of caused starvation of oxygen between his brain, his heart, and also other organs. So I'm going to play you this little clip from Bob McDonald and also Dr. John Higgins from CBC Radio discussing about the harms of energy drinks. Dr. Higgins is a cardiologist from Houston.
Now, when you hear about cases like this South Carolina teenager, what issues are raised in your mind?
I think the issues that this case and others like this have raised is the whole issue of safety of these energy products, particularly in younger children and adolescents. And for some time, we've had reports and also case studies on younger individuals who mainly are not consuming caffeine like the rest of us adults, you know, on a daily basis. So they're not used to the levels of caffeine daily, and they're, you know, generally smaller in terms of their mass than larger adults. And then what typically the pattern that we see is that they'll get together and they'll have one or two of these energy drinks on a weekend, and they don't sip them like you would a coffee, you know, or a sports drink. They tend to chug them down, and then they kind of get energized, and then they'll typically do kind of sports or some extreme activities, and that's when we're seeing them running into problems.
So what do you find when you looked at the effects of these energy drinks on the cardiovascular system?
Well, the literature and our group has shown that energy drinks acutely, so someone consuming, you know, a healthy young person consuming an energy drink, in the short term, we will note things such as elevated blood pressure, increased heart rate, changes on their electrocardiographic end, as well as arrhythmias. You know, we've seen both supraventricular, which are things like atrial fibrillation, as well as ventricular arrhythmias, which can be lethal, interfering with blood flow to the arteries of the heart with a coronary artery spasm, as well as thrombosis, and in fact, heart attacks in some individuals. So there's a lot of cardiac issues that are associated with the surge of the heart rate, the blood pressure, and also the epinephrine or adrenaline, which goes up to very high levels after consuming these energy drinks.
Well, what is it that's in the energy drinks that's causing all these problems?
Well, that's a great question, and unfortunately, it's still a little bit of a black box for a lot of the energy drinks. We know that they are high in caffeine, they are high in sugar. They also have high levels of taurine guarana, which is actually the nature's most concentrated form of caffeine. It's found in the Amazon, the guarana plant, and lots of B vitamins and other vitamins. So, and typically in energy drinks, these will be added in very high levels. And sometimes it'll say, you know, 200% or 2,000% of the recommended daily allowances. And what we believe in the medical community is that it's not just the caffeine, but rather we believe it is the interaction with high levels of these substances together with the caffeine and consumed in such a way that these young bodies who are not used to those chemicals are getting a shock to their system, literally, and to their cardiovascular system, which is then going on to lead to these complications. Now, at the same time, they're often putting their cardiovascular system under a lot of stress by, you know, going out and, you know, doing extreme sports or doing things that they ordinarily would not attempt because they are so amped up from these beverages.
Well, how are the ingredients that are in the energy drinks actually affecting the cardiovascular system?
That's a great question, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of studies on the other ingredients. We do know the studies on caffeine, that have shown that certainly caffeine does at high levels can reduce the blood flow, particularly when someone is exercising. It'll reduce the blood flow to the heart. But we know that there's something in the energy drinks that makes the platelets stickier. And when they get stickier, you're more likely to get a blood clot. And we know that, you know, someone having a heart attack, part of the problem is a blood clot which is forming in one of the arteries of the heart. So you've got the issue of reduced ability to get blood with oxygen and nutrients to the heart, coupled with the fact that, you know, the blood is going to clot easier. Putting those together with someone really pushing their body to the max, you know, with some sort of exercise or extreme type of sport, I think is what is resulting ultimately in a starvation of oxygen to certain parts of the heart, which then will lead to ventricular tachycardia, which is and ventricular fibrillation. And those are the irregular heart rhythms which will often result in sudden cardiac death. And so that's what our hypothesis here in Houston is, that this is the pathway to the sudden cardiac death in those younger children.
So what happens to the body after drinking energy drink for 24 hours? So in the first 10 minutes, once you consume the energy drink, it takes around 10 minutes for the caffeine to enter into the blood system. Your heart rate and also your blood pressure will start to rise. So around 15 to 45 minutes, the time your caffeine levels peaks in your bloodstream, you'll feel more alert and it's more stimulated. So it's kind of improving your concentration. Around 30 to 50 minutes, all the caffeine is fully absorbed, and your liver also responds by absorbing more sugar into the bloodstream. 1 hour later, there's a sugar crash. So basically, you're feeling a bit down because all the caffeine is wearing off, and also the sugar. So there is kind of a growing issue with energy drinks. Energy drinks are frequently used as mixes with alcoholic beverages. The risk were first noticed when these pre-mixed beverages were on the market, and researchers have actually called this as a wide awake drunk state. Many people mix them and also could feel awake for longer, but also more drunk as well. Alcohol is a depressant, which means it slows down the brain's function. And then caffeine is a stimulant, so it actually like masks the effects of actually being drunk state. So you're kind of feeling a bit awake, but you're actually unaware that you're actually being drunk. So the following is a radio clip from Bob McDonald and also Audrey Rumer from CBC Radio discussing about the harms of energy drinks and also alcohol mixing. Audrey is a PhD candidate from Victoria University in Canada.
What got you interested in looking at what happens when people combine energy drinks and alcohol?
Well, I've been doing research in alcohol use for a couple of years now, and I was actually reading up on mixing alcohol with illegal substances such as cocaine. And, you know, as we know, cocaine is quite a strong stimulant, and there's a very, very negative effect when you mix alcohol with strong stimulants such as cocaine. And I became interested in wondering, what about these sort of more accessible, legal, lower-level stimulants that people are accessing, you know, day-to-day, such as energy drinks? And I wanted to know if there was a similar negative effect when combining these substances.
So what did you find when you reviewed the literature on the topic about what the risk is when people combine both energy drinks and alcohol?
So the literature is still pretty limited, but what I have found so far is that the mixing of alcohol with energy drinks is resulting in a higher risk of injury relative to drinking alcohol on its own.
Injury? What kind of injuries?
There's a whole bunch of injuries, so it could be motor vehicle accident injuries, injuries related to being a pedestrian on the sidewalk or a cyclist going home, as well as injuries, you know, such as tripping or falling or stumbling, and also injuries related to sort of violent related episodes, so getting into a fight with someone perhaps.
Tell me about the other study that you're involved in that's looking at this issue.
Right. So what we did between 2013 and 2015, we collected a whole bunch of data. So we went into three different emergency departments in BC, so two in Vancouver and one in Victoria. And we actually collected information on people coming into those emergency departments. So we figured out whether they were coming in for an injury or something else. And then we asked questions about how much alcohol they had been consuming, how much energy drinks they had been consuming, as well as other caffeine, and information on things like other substances use as well. And what we're hoping to do with that study then is to take all of these people that we interviewed and start looking at that 6-hour period prior to when an injury may have occurred to see if we can actually calculate that very specific dose response relationship between alcohol and energy drinks and injury outcomes.
And how much more of a risk is there from the energy drinks?
Well, we don't have specific exact numbers yet, but from kind of preliminary analyses and sort of pilot studies that have been done, it looks like the risk could be upwards of double that of alcohol on its own.
Wow. Yeah. What's happening there? What's making people more prone to injury after they combine the two?
Well, again, because it's a fairly new topic, there's still a couple of theories that are being thrown around. And again, it's not something that we know a whole lot about. But what we're thinking is happening is that when you drink alcohol with energy drinks together, it creates kind of this awake drunk state, as we like to call it. So when you're drinking alcohol, at some point you get kind of tired. You know, alcohol is a sedative, so it gets you sleepy. And often that's the point where people decide to go home or maybe stop drinking. When you combine it with the energy drinks, it kind of counteracts that sedative effect or that depressive effect. And so people become a little bit more awake and they might be a little bit more alert. And at that point, they may perceive that they're less intoxicated than they actually are. So may decide to, you know, consume more alcohol or may decide that they are okay to drive home. Or simply because they're more awake, they may decide to stay out longer, whether that be at the bars or a friend's house. And that alone can also put people at a higher risk of injury.
So you're talking about decision-making here in terms of what people decide to do.
Absolutely.
And how they evaluate themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Health Canada has banned the sale of consumer products that contain both energy drinks and alcohol, but that's not stopping the bars from serving it. So what would you like to see happen to try to reduce this risk of injury from mixing alcohol and energy drinks?
I think to start off, just getting more public knowledge out there about what that combination of consumption is actually creating and, you know, helping people understand the risk that they may be putting themselves at so that they can be a little bit more knowledgeable about those type of beverages when they do decide to go out and, you know, drink or party.
Well, I think because they're legal, I mean, the energy drinks are easy to get, that people are going to continue to do it. So what's your message?
Well, I would say don't do it.
But you know, for those who do.
Be careful. Be aware that the energy drinks is not doing anything to lower your blood alcohol level. So the amount of alcohol you drink is going to determine how intoxicated you are. So whether you have 5 drinks with or without the energy drink, you're still just as impaired. So that doesn't mean you can drive home. It probably means you should have stopped, you know, when you know your limit is. And just be careful and be safe and be smart.
So, what have we discussed for this show? So, there is nothing new about energy drinks. It is definitely a non-concept. It's basically like a pick-me-up. There are some benefits, such as giving you more energy, more alertness, and also it's really measurable compared to, like, drinking coffee. There are also some issues with energy drinks, such as anxiety, insomnia, and also some dental erosions. And then, for example, like the interview that I just had earlier, it's when people are pre-mixing alcohol and also energy drinks, it's not good for you. And of course, everything in moderation. So that's all the time we have this week, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.